I just like helping people like get better and just continually improve on a daily basis. I think that's something that keeps people really young, keeps them super focused, and just makes sure that every day is an awesome day.
Wouldn't you love to build a business you can run from anywhere in the world, whether that be your kitchen table or a beach in Fiji? Well, you're in the right place. Welcome to Your Lifestyle Business, the show where I bring you into my life as a traveling entrepreneur, and along with some of my awesome guests, give you tips and strategies for building your own freedom business. Welcome to the show. Let's make it happen. Hello there, ladies and gents. How are you doing? Joe here, and welcome to another episode of the Your Lifestyle Business podcast. And today I am talking to Nate Palmer from n8trainingsystems.com. Nate is a certified personal trainer. He is also the best-selling author of Passport Fitness, the no-nonsense guide to staying in shape no matter what city you wake up in. So he is a traveling fitness trainer, and he specializes in working with entrepreneurs and business owners to create energy, focus, and a lean, healthy body. Now, I have to be honest with you. I did actually use this podcast as a bit of a personal coaching session. If you've been listening to me for a while now, you know I've been on my own health journey for quite a long time. And so I grilled him lots of questions about diet and exercise and energy and how to exercise when you work from home. How do you don't go to the gym and you just want to get up and do stuff. What an awesome guy. He had so much to say and so much great advice and so much energy. That's what I loved about him. So without further ado, here's Nate. Hello there, Nate. How are you doing? Welcome to the podcast.
I'm doing awesome, Joe. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so pumped.
Well, that's a very apt and poignant phrase for you specifically, Nate, isn't it? As we're talking about getting pumped.
I said it's poignant, and it's also something I just try to every day just get excited and be excited, like pumped up about whatever I'm doing, whether that's, you know, working my business, working out, hanging out with my little one at home. Just I like to be excited at all times.
Well, we're talking together at the moment. I am in Phuket, Thailand. It's 6:30 in the morning where I am on Wednesday, and you, it's still Tuesday where you are, and it's 4:30 in the afternoon, correct?
Yep. How's Wednesday? Is it going to be a good day?
Wednesday's going to be an awesome day, Nate.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I actually found myself jumping out of bed this morning, Nate, because recently I've been reading a lot of very positive books, which have completely manifested themselves in me waking up with so much enthusiasm, and I just can't wait to start my day. So how important is that we fuel our mind as well as our body?
Oh, it's so important. And I think that Zig Ziglar has a quote that says, motivation doesn't last, neither does bathing. That's why we recommend it daily, right? So I think that when you have that mentality of like, let me put positive things into my mind, then that like what's going to come out of your body and your out of your mouth, it's going to be positive stuff. You know, how often have you met people who are like, well, I'm having kind of a bad day, really couldn't get going this morning. And you're like, ugh, just dragging me down.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Try and stay away from negative people at all costs. Anyway, I digress slightly. Wednesday's going to be awesome, but let's talk about you because I want to hear all about you. I've got so many questions for you, and I'm going to be absolutely honest with you, Nate. As somebody on their own health journey, I am going to kind of use this podcast as a bit of a personal coaching session.
I love it. Let's go.
So let's start with you, though. Let's talk a little bit about who you are, Nate, and how you, why fitness is so important to you, and how and why you started your business. Talk to us a little bit about how all that came about.
So I started off in the fitness industry about a decade ago. I studied something totally different in school and just was never really into it, did not enjoy learning. But then I found a website that I just really loved that talked about building muscle and burning fat and how muscles work together and stuff. And I was so enamored with it. I went back in time and I read all the archives of this website. So like almost 2,000 articles my senior year of college. And so after I graduated, I was like, well, while I wait for myself to figure out what I want to do with my life and get a real job, why don't I just start training instead? So that I got a real job like about a year later and spent about 3 months being like, this is not something I ever want to do again. So I went back to training, opened my own studio, and it's just kind of taken off from there. So I've done a lot of different things within the fitness realm, but I just love the idea and the ability that you can actually change your body, change your energy, change your focus and your mental state by like starting off your day or getting some sort of exercise and nutrition that complements the lifestyle that you want to live.
Yep.
So I think it's just so powerful to be able to make a choice that impacts the entire rest of your day and rest of your life.
I love your Passport to Fitness book, and the fact that you've, I mean, that really resonates with me because obviously I travel all the time. I'm just flicking through now to find my highlighted bit where I said you have been 225 hours on buses, 55 hostels, 42 cities, 23 flights, and 7 hospitals. I read your story about why you were in hospital. But just talk to us a bit about that time in your life and how all that traveling came about.
Totally. So my wife and I were living in Seattle in about 2015, and we had decided that we were going to go pack everything up, sell what we didn't need, and move down to Panama for a little bit. So we ended up going down to Panama, and we were doing what's called a workaway. So this is a great way to see places and stay a little longer without spending a ton of money. So it's called, the website's called workaway.info, and you can find a ton of different things from hostels to like organic farms to this, like, I saw a place in the Netherlands where you can go and help tend their sheep. But basically what it is you work for a couple hours a day and they give you room and board. So we had organized two different workaway stays while we were down in Panama. The first one, we were going to be there for 6 weeks, ended up burning myself pretty badly in a trash fire, my fault. We left after 2 weeks. And then the second place we ended up was outside of Panama City, like on the Panama Canal in a little lake called Lake Gatun, where we were tour guides on a floating lodge. So people from all over would come down and we'd show them where the monkeys were at. We'd show them some crocodiles. We'd paddle through the Panama Canal. We'd go on stand-up paddle boards. And it was just unbelievable. So the whole experience was fantastic. The place is called Jungle Land Panama, in case anyone's interested.
I'm interested.
And so we were down there. The guy who owns the place is a expat from the U.S. named Carl. We called him Uncle Carl, though, because he just kind of had that vibe, that uncle-y vibe, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so after that, we were like, well, this is pretty amazing. Why don't we just keep going since we already sold all of our stuff? So my wife and I traveled down through Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Argentina, and Chile. But the whole time, it's really difficult to find gyms. I think that, like, gyms, CrossFit, Orange Theory Fitness, yoga studios are really, really prevalent in the U.S. and not necessarily that prevalent in South America where we were. So I brought a suspension trainer with me and a couple of bands that I was able to use on a daily basis to get myself a workout in the morning. And I just developed these 30-minute workouts that I would do every single day, because if I wanted to be traveling and energetic and still feel amazing all the time, I would need to get a workout in. You know, just going on a hike or just going for a walk through the city wasn't cutting it for me. So it was such a great way to start my day off and focus on my body, focus on improving myself. And for me, working out and exercise is total mental therapy too. My wife will tell you I'm a real pain in the ass if I don't get a chance to exercise for a couple of days. So it was really fun to get that in and still be able to be in a different place and explore a new situation and see a different city. So I thought it was really important to have that component with the traveling, because I don't think I would have been my best. So for me, when I exercise, it gives me the ability to, one day I can go hike a 15,000-foot glacier, and then the next day we can go like surfing. I'm not good at surfing, but like I can go, you know, and then the next day we can go stand-up paddleboarding. The next day we can go kayaking. And it just gives you the opportunity and the ability to do everything. You are not limited by anything physical. And I just think that is so amazing.
Let's talk about the tough journey to get there, though, Nate, because as somebody who has been incredibly unfit and overweight and is still on the journey, it can get really tough. If you're somebody like me, who I'm going to totally put my hands up here and say that if there is an excuse to be had for not, I mean, I do a lot. I go spinning twice a week. I've got a session this morning where I'm doing it with a friend of mine. So I have to make sure that I'm meeting somebody to go and do the workout, because left to my own devices, I will find a million reasons why I could not fit it into my day, right?
Totally.
And I'm sure people listening to this will be sick. I know what you mean, Joe. I know exactly what you mean. I totally resonate with that. And let's talk about how we kind of get over that. You know, we kind of put these barriers in our way, and we say we don't have the time, and other things get in. And definitely when traveling, I can come with a whole host of reasons why I wasn't able to get it into my day. But it's a mindset thing, isn't it? I mean, it's about building your life around your fitness rather than the other way around. But how do we get there?
Well, I feel like, Joe, if I was like, hey, I really want to hire you to consult with me on how to build my lifestyle business, do you have a time we can meet, like 4 o'clock? You'd be like, yes, 4 o'clock's good. And you're not going to stand me up for that appointment, right? You're going to be there.
Yep.
Not only are you going to show up, but you're going to be physically present. You're going to be engaged. You're going to be all in on that. You got to treat yourself the same way. You got to schedule that appointment and you got to show up for it. You know, this is something that's equally as important as a client meeting. So why do we short ourselves in that and kind of give ourselves the out? You wouldn't do that for your work necessarily. So I think it's not necessarily like muscle through it. I think the key is make a switch in your brain where you go, okay, I know to be the best version of myself that I want to be the best for my family, to be the best in my business, I need to exercise in some form or fashion. It sounds like you've already established that. Then after you just realize that, hey, this is just what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I'm going to exercise because it makes me a better human. Then you put it on your calendar, and it doesn't have to be crazy. You don't have to go to the gym for 90 minutes and swim for an hour and then bike for 700 kilometers. Although, you know, more power to you if you do.
Yeah.
But even something like a 30 minute routine you can do at, like, from your hotel room or Airbnb or wherever you're staying, something you can get up in the morning and do before the day gets ahead of you, that is the best possible way to do that, especially if you're setting that appointment, making that intentional, and getting it in on a daily basis.
Now, that's the other thing I wanted to ask you. So I can't remember where I read this, but I was reading something not long ago where a doctor, was saying that we're in a situation in our world now where we believe that more is better when it comes to exercise. We believe we have to completely, get to the point of absolute exhaustion. We have to work really, really hard. And it comes from watching the athletes and the sports guys and the people on TV mm-hmm. who do the motivational videos and all the rest of it. And to get there, you have to push yourself and sacrifice everything and da, da, da. And so I think sometimes in our minds, we think to ourselves, unless we go out and do 90 minutes of absolute killer exercise, we're not actually exercising. And what the doctor on the article was saying was actually, you know, this is damaging to our bodies. And if we actually engaged in moderate and lighter exercise, if being an athlete is not our goal, but staying fit and healthy for the rest of our life is, then more moderate but consistent exercise is what we're looking for. What's your theories on that?
I love that word you use, consistent exercise. I think that is the big thing that gets overlooked in these like 21-day fixes and detoxes and stuff. We live in a society right now where we want it right now or yesterday, and we want to take a pill or have a cream or something like that. But if you just do something every single day, you sweat for 30 minutes every single day, like exactly how you're doing it. You're doing some yoga, you're doing some Zumba, you're doing a little bit of spin. You know, you're mixing it up, not necessarily killing your body with weights every single time you go to the gym, going hashtag beast mode, hashtag grind, you know, all these motivational videos like you were saying. Because like, I think that on a monthly basis, okay, say 30 days in a month, I'll probably get 20 workouts in. You know, trying to get 4 times a week or so. Mm-hmm. Out of those 20 workouts, I'm going to have 2 amazing workouts where I feel good. Everything seems like it's firing. I have a ton of energy. Okay. At 2 out of 20, that's not great. I'm going to have 2 or 3 bad workouts where I don't feel good, where I probably quit a little bit early, where my body's hurting. So that means I'm going to have like 16 medium workouts. And for me, those are where the magic happens, because those are what I call punch the clock workouts. You didn't feel super great. You're not like setting any records or anything. You're going in, you're moving your body, and you're moving on. You're just checking that box and going on with your day. Exercise should augment your day and augment your life, not detract from it because you have to be in a full body cast because you did 600 lunges, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, when I started, I just started with yoga, and I started with yoga in front of the TV. I just followed a girl on YouTube who's very good, because I was too embarrassed to go to a gym or anything. And so every morning I would just get up about 5:30 and I would do about 20 to 30 minutes of yoga. So my question to you, Nate, is, Obviously, when I started super slowly. So for people listening to this, how good is like walking for just 30 minutes a day? If you're quite new to exercise and you want to just start to make some changes, how good is just saying, look, I'm just going to get out and I'm just going to walk around, listen to a podcast, listen to some music, and I'm only going to do 30 minutes, but I'm going to do it for at least 4 times this week or 5 times this week?
I think that's an amazing place to start. And I love what you said about you got up at 5:30 in the morning and you did 25 minutes of yoga that you found on YouTube. It's not like you went out and hired a trainer, had to do a bunch of research. You just woke up, looked on YouTube and started, right? And that is so important. So whether you're starting with yoga, starting with walking, starting with, you know, like a cardio machine at the gym, doing something is the key to that. Like, I think action creates more action, you know, and you can always start lighter and build up. That being said, walking for me is one of my favorite types of exercise, especially if you're starting from zero or don't consider yourself an athletic person. Trying to go beast mode in the gym or try to go in and like into a place where you're not super comfortable is a great way to burn out early or feel discouraged. I think walking's awesome. And I think that walking actually in the long term will burn more fat than running. And I know that's sacrilegious to say, but I'm a firm believer that you should either be, in terms of your fitness, be walking or sprinting. And not running, because running is boring and it beats you up and it just kind of, I feel like degrades motivation. But walking
kills your knees, kills your back.
Yeah. but walking feels good. You get outside, you get to kind of connect with your breath, and like it does burn calories, and it burns a substantial amount of those calories come from fat because it's that low intensity fat loss.
Yeah. So. Fantastic. Right. I'm going to come back to training because I've got a couple of very specific questions I want to ask you that are personal, but I'm sure anybody listening is going to get benefit out of them as well. But we'll come back to that. What I'd like to move on to now, of course, is food, because I read a lot of articles, listen to a lot of podcasts, and you get the whole it's 80% what you put in your body and 20% how you move your body. So I really want to hear your thoughts and advice on nutrition, particularly from my point of view, for weight loss. And I know, Nate, you're going to say it to me. Everybody says it. Don't go on a diet. Need to eat for lifestyle. You need to get into a pattern that you're going to eat like for the rest of your life. But when you want to shift weight, you have to actually be in calorie deficit, right? I mean, you have to eat less than somehow you're putting out. And it doesn't matter whether you try keto or paleo or Weight Watchers or Slimming World or the potato diet or whatever. At the end of the day, in order to lose and shift the fat, you have to eat a little bit less, right?
Correct. Totally correct. So I think that there's just so much information floating around right now about diets. You listed off a bunch of diets. I've not heard of the potato diet, but I am interested in trying it because I love potatoes.
So do I, which is why I can't stand the bloody keto diet.
Yeah, I know, right? No carbs. So I think you're right. You have to be in a calorie deficit in order to move that needle in terms of weight loss. But I think there's also something to be said for creating a framework for your lifestyle that enables you to eat in a caloric deficit without a huge headache around it. Because I think that like once you get into some of like the counting macros, where it's like you have to log every piece of food you eat and you have to make sure that it's X amount, and then you have to like write all these numbers down and make sure you're hitting these percentages, it just becomes kind of a headache and not sustainable over the long term. So I think that creating a framework around your diet and your like the way you eat on a daily basis is really important for moving the needle. So okay. I have a couple thoughts around the way to do that. Want me to jump into those?
Yeah, please do. Yeah, please do.
Okay, so I love working with entrepreneurs and business owners because I think there's a little bit of a difference in how we approach things versus how someone who's, you know, got a kind of a 9-to-5 doesn't need to be necessarily on all day approaches their diet. And I think for someone who needs to be focused and energetic as like at 4 p.m. as they are at 7 a.m. in the morning, there's a slightly different way that we can structure our eating to accomplish both goals.
Okay.
So what I like to do is it's a technique called glycogen priming. And what that means is essentially we're going to be eating most of our carbohydrates later in the day. And this kind of flies in the face of like our common knowledge, which says don't eat carbs after 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever the time frame is that people make up. But what this is going to do for you is going to help moderate your blood sugar throughout the day, keep you have a slow burn energy, so you're going to feel really good, really energetic, really focused, all the way up until dinner time. Dinner time, we add back in some of those carbohydrates. We hit that potato diet hard in the PM. And then what's great about it is if you ever had like a big burrito at lunch and you get like 2 o'clock, you get really sleepy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, low blood sugar in the afternoon or whatever it is.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to use that to help augment our sleep to roll into the next day feeling so good and so energized. So, you know, actually take that 2 p.m. lull, put that around 9 p.m. That way you drift off to sleep. You're feeling really good. And then you wake up the next day with the exact same amount of energy.
Yeah. And a lot of people that I'm talking to and who'll be listening to this are people who are working from home and who are primarily working on their computers and are also primarily working alone. And they're sitting there through the day and you are working away and you kind of stop and have a little stretch and you get up and you think, oh, just wander into the kitchen. And, you know, wonder what's in the front. I mean, my partner is determined to start a business on timed fridge locks. He thinks timed fridge locks for entrepreneurs is a great market. There's a gap in the market.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a great idea, isn't it? And it's true, because you kind of have a little break from what you're doing and you're on your own and you're in the house and maybe you're a bit bored because you've got nobody to speak to and you kind of wander into the kitchen and you have a look in the fridge. Any advice on that, Nate? Other than pure willpower and self-control?
Yeah, totally. That's the real struggle though, for sure. Especially when you end up at the pantry for like the third time and you're like, why did I even come over here? What am I even looking for? I think a key thing there is just being mindful about, are you actually hungry? So when you open that fridge up and you're taking inventory, you're like, am I hungry? How does my stomach feel right now? What do I need? Like, and if you don't need necessarily food, but you're a little bit bored, if you want something else that's not food, but you're kind of just using food to as a substitute there, just keep in mind, just take an inventory of your body and your mental space. So you can say, if you are hungry, yeah, then eat some food. If you're not hungry, then go do the thing that you need to do instead.
Yeah.
Because I find that a lot of times I'm ended up in front of the fridge because I'm bored, not because I need to eat.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do have a little trick, actually. Honestly, the jury's out on what's good or bad for you these days. You read so many different things. But I find that if I'm looking for a snack, if I actually go and drink a little bottle of soda water, yeah, just literally carbonated water, and I drink that, and of course it's full of gas, and so I immediately fills me up. But I don't know if it's any good for you, carbonated water.
I don't know. I've heard conflicting viewpoints. I choose not to major in the minutia like that. If I want to eat carbonated water, I'll just take some of that. It's no big deal.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I think I'm fully on the right track. If you, a lot of times, thirst in our bodies gets manifested as hunger signals. So you think you're hungry when actually you're just dehydrated. So I think that's such a great suggestion and one that you can put into practice. Even if you don't have carbonated water, just a big glass of water will start that process.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, my partner, he has a little mini trampoline. And what he does is every time he starts stretching, he just gets on the trampoline and starts bouncing up and down for 10 minutes. I don't have that kind of willpower, but he's very good at that.
And that's supposedly really good for your lymphatic system and just giving you a little boost of energy. I also like to try to reframe my hunger in a different way. Because if you think about it, back in the day, back in like the caveman era, you didn't just go to the fridge and pull out like leftover pizza, right? If you were hungry, you had to go kill a woolly mammoth and then eat it. So it wasn't like you could just go grab something and eat it. So technically, when we start getting hunger or these hunger signals, we're activating what's called our sympathetic nervous system. So that's our fight or flight, like our, you know, hunt or be hunted type of reflex.
Yep.
So if you start getting that hunger signal, you know, around lunchtime, or you know, even better, right before you're diving into a big project, what you can kind of do is reframe that signal of like, oh, I'm hungry, I need to eat to feel satisfied, to being like, no, I'm not. I need to maintain this feeling to be incredibly focused on what I'm doing right now. Because when you are a little bit hungry, that's when you're going to be the most focused, have the most energy, and have the ability to dive deep into whatever work you're doing. So I think hunger, we are afraid of it. Generally speaking, most people are. When they get hungry, they just, this hunger signal, they freak out, not realizing that, you know, we haven't really been hungry in our lives, most of us. So if you can just reframe that signal in your brain, you can actually get more done, even though you might not be feeding yourself quite as much.
That is interesting, isn't it, what you say there, Nate, that really in our lives, most of us, certainly in the Western world, have never really been hungry. I was looking at something the other day where they were saying that back in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, people were eating meat. They were eating butter, they were eating ice creams, they were eating a bit of chocolate, bread, pasta. There was no keto or vegan or high fat, low carb, low fat, high carb or anything like that. And yet everybody was fairly slim. Right. And you fast forward X number of years and you've got an epidemic of obesity around the world just in the last 9 years living in Thailand. When we first got here 9 years ago, you did not see an overweight Thai person. And now they are everywhere. And what's interesting is the abundance of food available now versus back just after World War II, etc., where there just wasn't as much food.
Yeah, just inundated by food. And not only do we live in a world that's inundated by food, we also there's more gyms than there's ever been. There's more personal trainers. There's more information on the internet about weight loss, diets, and exercise. And there's more widely available information on this stuff than ever before. So why is our obesity level still creeping up at record levels? You know, it doesn't make sense if you think about it like that.
No, you're right. It doesn't make sense. But I think that a lot of that is just confusion. I think people are just confused as to what there's so many different reports that come firing out telling us what we do and don't need to do. As an example, I've got two very good friends of mine here. One of them's a vegan, one of them's keto. So they're at total opposite ends of the spectrum and they both swear by their individual eating plans. They both say not is it just good for weight loss, but it helps sharpen your mind and it has all these great effects on your body, two complete extremes. So a lot of the time we just don't know what we need to do to be the healthiest or lose the weight or whatever. So what do you think? Do you think we just need to be eating a bit less?
Eat a little bit less and then eat things that were alive at some point. I think if you could just sum it up like super simply. You know, eat those broccoli sprouts, eat the greens, eat the potato, eat the chicken, but leave alone the bread, the processed foods, the fried food, the creamy dressings, the sweets. You know, those are the things that really add up calorically after a while. It's really hard to eat 1,000 calories of chicken breast. Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. And at the end of the day, though, common sense has got to kick in, isn't it? I mean, you know, if you're sitting around drinking Cokes all day and you're eating chocolate bars and packets of Doritos and all the rest of it, I mean, common sense has just got to kick in, right?
Yeah. And then, like I said, there's so much information. And you've tried a lot of different things. Like you said, you tried keto. And I think that's an important aspect of this as well, the self-experimentation. So you tried keto, wasn't for you. No problem. You've done that study on yourself and you can move on. You tried veganism. Maybe you liked it. Maybe you didn't. Okay. So what's next? So now you try six or seven different styles of eating, different diets. You pick and choose the things that worked for you, the things that you liked, and kind of put them together in the Joe Barnes framework for eating, you know, and make it your own rather than just jumping into the keto diet or jumping into the Whole30 diet. I think you can pull the pieces that you like that serve you and then leave the rest alone.
So what's your thoughts on intermittent fasting then? Because I've tried a bit of that, probably not enough to really prove any good results, but it kind of makes sense because if, let's say, you skip breakfast and then you just have your lunch and your dinner within a short window, then you're instantly skipping a meal. So surely you are reducing your calories, reducing your intake just by skipping that one meal, yeah?
Totally. I've actually practiced intermittent fasting myself. I really enjoyed it. I don't necessarily know that there's a lot of these magical health benefits that many people tout about the autophagy and the cellular breakdown and all these different aspects. The science is kind of gray on those. But you're right. If you cut out a meal in your day, you're cutting out almost a third of your calories, right? The only downside of that is that, you know, sometimes people are like, by 1 o'clock when they start eating again are so hungry that they just hit Dunkin' Donuts and go crazy because they're like, I didn't eat breakfast. So, but if you can control it and you know what you're going to eat for your first meal of the day, I think it's an awesome, awesome way to do it. There are a couple of different things that are weird for women with intermittent fasting, especially skipping breakfast. So I wrote up a guide to intermittent fasting. I can share that with you a little later. But for women, I don't recommend that skipping breakfast thing because it's stressful on their systems. And women are genetically designed to protect their eggs because they have a finite amount of eggs like to reproduce. So this like adding in a like deleting a meal and basically only eating for 8 hours a day is a kind of a low grade stressor across for women, especially. Men seem to do a lot better with it.
Okay.
So I caution female clients of mine to, rather than doing the kind of that typical 16-hour fast with an 8-hour feeding window, do every 2 weeks, do a 24-hour fast. So you eat dinner late or eat dinner early one day and then eat dinner late the next day. So you still get a meal every day.
Okay.
That's the more effective, safe way for women to do intermittent fasting.
And what's your view on you're not eating enough? That's what so many people say to me when I say, gosh, you know, I'm really watching, I've been so good this week, but I'm still not seeing it. My genes are not getting any looser. Oh, you're not eating enough. Your body has got used to it. You're in too much of a calorie deficit and you're not eating enough. And now your body is, it's not going to do what you want it to do. What's your views on that?
I think that's a great question, Joe. Are you a toe tapper by any chance? You know that? Do you know what I mean? You sit down and you just tap your toe on the ground?
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of times what I find is if you're in a caloric deficit.
I'm doing it right now. I'm literally doing
it
right now. Yeah, I do it all the time. My friends smack my knees all the time because I'm sitting there jagging my, you know, jiggling my leg all the time. That is so – when you said that, are you a toe tapper? I thought, oh, gosh, can he hear that? Can he hear me doing that then across the airwaves?
No, I'm actually watching you right now. So if you're in a caloric deficit for more than like 6 months to a year, what'll end up happening is your body will start to adapt to the new lower calories that you're feeding it, and it'll start to reduce some of the metabolic processes that you would normally do. So like I feel like toe tapping is one of the first things to go I see in clients. So the fact that you're still doing it, that's good. Also, it'll reduce your body's core temperature by even like half a degree, and that ends up saving a bunch of your body's calories. It also does stuff with your Krebs cycle and a bunch of different internal processes. It slows them down and effectively takes your metabolic rate. So like the rate, if you were just sitting on your couch watching Friends reruns,
yep.
like how many calories you would burn in a day, let's say that was like 1500 or so. If that was your original number, if you were in a caloric deficit for a really long amount of time, your body would reduce that to about 1300 or so. I'm just making up numbers. So you lose out on several hundred calories a day of just automatic burn. So when people say you're not eating enough, it's true, but it's a little overly simplistic. The best way to counteract that metabolic decline is by adding in resistance training with weights. That's going to help build muscle tissue. And when you build muscle tissue back up, that's going to increase your metabolism. Also, eating really healthy, high protein, high fat meals is going to help increase that metabolism, and just being more active on a daily basis. So that toe tapping is a part of a process called NEAT, NEAT, which stands for non-exercise activity thermogenesis, which is just a really, really pretentious way of saying all the activity you do outside of the gym. So that's walking, that's moving around, that's standing up, that's talking, that's dancing when you don't think anyone's watching, that sort of thing. So the more you can do of those non-formal exercise movements, whether that's getting out on a walk with your family, you know, just being a little bit more active and then building a little bit of muscle, those things will really help increase your metabolism over time.
Love it. And that takes us very nicely into the questions I wanted to ask you about strength training in particular, resistance training.
Yes.
How can you, I've got two key questions on this. First question is, how can you walk into a gym and effectively strength train without a spotter? Because if you're on a bit of a budget and you just do not have the money to pay the personal trainers in your gym to help you get your weight, because when you strength train, I had a personal trainer for a while, and basically what they were trying to do with me was to get me to do very, very low reps on very, very high weights, right? Which is fine, but you have to have somebody to help you with that, because otherwise, you know, you could crush your skull or whatever. And also you just physically could not get the weights into the right position before doing the exercise. So how can I, if I'm on a budget and I can't afford the personal trainer and my buddies aren't around at the time and I really want to go into the gym and do a decent strength training program, how do I do that without a spotter but do enough weight that it's effective for me?
Joe, that is such an awesome question. I love it because it's not just like a question of how do I go get a good workout at the gym, but it's actually a question that someone who spent some time in the gym would ask, you know, like a couple months into that training journey. So I think it's a really awesome question. It's a should ask question, not a frequently asked question. Anyways, there's a couple different ways of doing that. And number one, you want to look at your reps. So you said your trainer was having you do super high weight with low reps, and that's fine. Like anything below 5 reps, though, is going to be more of a strength training. So it's not necessarily muscle building, but it's going to be building top levels of strength. So let's say I had a wrestler who did not want to change classes. He wanted to stay at like the 130-pound class or something like that. I would have him doing that type of exercise, 3 reps, 5 reps of things. So that way he's not going to be building muscle and getting himself out of the weight class he wants to be in. But so if you want to build muscle, what you want to be doing is more around the 8 to 15 rep range. Okay.
Okay.
So that's more of like a medium weight, medium rep. So that's a lot more doable for without a spotter. But even that, like going into like a set of barbell back squats or something or bench press, that can be a difficult exercise to do by yourself, no matter how much weight you're using. Like you said, it's hard to get the weights in the right position sometimes. So think rather than doing those heavy weights where you're doing like a bar, go with the smaller weights, the dumbbells, and then do like a single arm or a single leg. So rather than doing a squat, do a lunge, because then if you're just holding dumbbells by your side, you can do a set of 12 reps on your left leg, then 12 reps on your right leg, and you're going to be burning a ton of calories. You're going to get your heart rate way high. You're going to build a lot of muscle through the lower body, and you're not going to need any sort of spotter for that. So any sort of like step ups, lunges, dumbbell presses, dumbbell rows, those are all really great exercises that can be done without the spotter and get you tremendous results.
Awesome. So my next question then, and this is very specifically for entrepreneurs who are working from home, how do you strength train effectively at home? How do you just do it in your front room?
Yeah, awesome question. I love that. And so there's a piece of equipment, the one thing I brought on the trip when we were traveling abroad for a year, called a suspension trainer. I think that's the single most effective piece of equipment for your house. You can basically do any exercise, train any muscle group, and turn it into a resistance training session rather than just being kind of like a home-based cardio workout. So it's something you can put in your door frame. You can hang from a like you can put it up on the wall. You can have a little stand for it. Put it around a tree, anything like that. But what's great about it, Joe, is you're doing body weight exercises in a way that's going to build muscle. And there's two things that's awesome about that. Number one, you get the resistance training aspect, which I think is more important than cardio in some capacity. Then number two, you're actually moving your body through space, rather than moving a dumbbell through space or some external load. So when you're doing a dumbbell chest press, like you were describing, you're moving those two dumbbells up and then you're bringing them back down to your body. But if you go do a push-up, what you're going to be doing is now you're moving your body up and then bringing it back down. And the reason that is a better exercise than the dumbbell bench press is because it's going to recruit more muscle fibers, which is just the fancy way of saying you're going to build more muscle and use more muscle. And then secondly, it's going to help show your body kind of how you move through space, which is a great kind of, it plays back into what we were talking about earlier about being able. So if you can popping up off the couch is going to be a lot more related to doing a body weight squat than it is going to be doing a leg press or a leg extension where you're kicking your knee out. Does that make sense?
It does. Makes total sense.
So those home-based workouts are so, they can be so effective, especially for an entrepreneur or especially for someone who's working at home, because it's going to take a little less time. You can pair exercises together like a push and then a pull, get a lot done in a little bit of time. And if you're doing it correctly, you're going to get great results too.
But if I don't have a suspension trainer, so I'm going backpacking in a couple of months' time with my sister, and we're going across India for 3 weeks, and we've got a small backpack with no more than 7 kilos, so I won't be taking anything. But if every day I get up and I do push-ups and squats and some lunges, is that going to help?
Absolutely. I would. It's really hard to do the pulling exercises, but other than that, if you can do a push, a hinge, a squat, and then some sort of carry, those are the kind of the five main the main movements that you, if you do on a daily basis, you're going to get great results. So the push is like a push-up. The squat can be the like the body weight squats or the lunges. Lunges is technically like a squat type of movement.
Yep.
A hinge is more like the deadlift or a kettlebell swing, where you're actually pushing your butt back and then coming back up, not squatting down. And then a carry is amazing because you can do it anywhere with anything that you just happen to have available. You can carry two heavy pails by your side. You can carry your backpack over your head. You can carry one pail at your side and then one thing above your head. You can carry it on your shoulders. You can carry it on your front. You can carry anything, any way, and just challenge your body's ability to maintain stability while you put it through, like you put it under load in odd manners.
Yeah.
And honestly, the weirder the thing is you're carrying, the better it is. So I like to think of a lot of different stuff as workouts, like where I'm, you know the feeling where you go to the store and you get like 12 bags and you're like, I'm making this in one trip, and you put them all in one arm.
Yep.
That's a workout right there. That's real life.
I just give him all to my other half, and he does that.
Ah, take it from him. That's you now.
And yoga. Anybody listening to this, definitely just 10 minutes of stretching will change your life every day.
Yeah, and especially if you're sitting at a desk for more than a
Yeah.
couple hours a day, we need to stretch. It's very important, especially like you said, for our longevity and just how good we feel on a daily basis.
Absolutely. So look, Nate, you have your business as well. So let's just talk about that a bit. You have your business, you have your blog, and obviously I will link to that from this podcast, from my blog. You've got your HIIT home gym. What is that? High intensity interval training. That's HIIT, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, so you've got your bod in a box, which is the HIIT home gym. What is that? What is the HIIT home gym bod in a box?
So it's just a product I put together using the things that I thought were took up the least amount of space but gave you the most effective bang for your buck workouts. So I included in that the suspension trainer that I was talking about earlier. I think that thing is awesome. I have two sliders in there, which are basically just overpriced furniture sliders. But you could also, like on like a tile floor, you can use like paper plates or just your feet in socks and kind of get the same result. And then I got put in two 40-inch resistance bands, so those big circle bands you can use for pull-ups. I believe you can get almost any type of exercise done with those two bands. And I just think that it creates a really small package that you can use in a hotel, you can use on the road, you can use in a hostel, and just makes it easy for people to get a great workout.
Awesome. So just tell us a bit about your business then. So when did you kind of get this off the ground, your Nate training systems?
So I launched my business and my blog in 2011. It's kind of taken on some different iterations over the years. But what I strive to do is I try to work with people who have growth mindsets, people who have started their own business, people who are looking to improve and not just dropping weight, but actually improving every aspect of their life. So getting a little bit more muscle, getting a little bit more energy, getting some focus, just feeling better, having more time, more financial freedom, and the ability to do what they love from anywhere in the world. So I try to help people do more of that, using fitness and nutrition as the vehicle for doing so.
Okay, and you have like online courses, yeah, that help people do this. You've got your 4-month transformation program, your custom training program, all stuff like that here I'm reading on your blog. So, and that's like online training, is it? Do you work with people, or is it video training, or how does that work?
Yeah, so I have a course called My Million Dollar Body course, which is totally, it's all video based, something that people can go through on their own. But I also mostly work one-on-one with people, and I have clients, in 7 or 8 of the US states and 3 different continents across the US. So mostly remote, all the time we talk like via video, like a Zoom call, just working on honing in and getting really, really focused on it, making it a lifestyle shift rather than getting on just another diet.
So you're a super busy guy. So just talk us through like a day in the life of Nate then. How do you manage your time? And because I find, and you also said earlier on you got a little one.
Oh yeah, I got a little 8-month-old right now. She's very cute and very bossy.
Oh God, you got a whole heap of trouble ahead of you. Mine's 12, mine's 12, and you got a girl. So, oh, you got it
Yep.
coming. You got it coming, Nate.
I know, I know.
Best thing to ever happen. They're just so beautiful. Oh, my daughter is the love of my life, along with my partner. But oh, they're just gorgeous, Nate. You've got such a whole heap of fun coming your way. You really have. So you've got a little one. You've got your family life, you've got your business, you obviously want to keep yourself super fit. And you know, the other day I was having this very conversation with a good friend of mine when I said to her, hey, you know what, at the moment I'm trying to be a great mum, I'm trying to be a great entrepreneur, and I'm trying to be an athlete. And I actually introduced myself to, so I keep calling myself an athlete because I think to myself, if I keep calling my labeling myself that, then I'm going to start to think like an athlete, you know. So
I don't gloss over that point. I think that's a really awesome point you just made. And I think that's really important is once you start thinking of yourself, I'm an athlete, I'm a physically fit person, I'm a person who values exercise, then that starts to happen in your life, right? I love that you call yourself an athlete because I believe it. Anyone who has a body and moves and wants to be more physically fit is an athlete. So
yeah.
Awesome.
And you know, the funny thing is, Nate, is that years ago, have you ever seen the film G.I. Jane with Demi Moore?
I don't believe so, no.
Oh, it's a great, great film, right? And she basically is the first woman to go and become a Navy SEAL, and she has to go through all the training, and obviously there's lots of discrimination because she's a woman and blah, blah, blah. And it's this, you know, it's your real typical hero's journey, how she ends up being this amazing Navy SEAL, blah, blah, blah. And of course, she's like super, super fit. Yeah, like uber fit.
Yeah.
And so I've had a girl crush on G.I. Jane, the character that Demi Moore plays, forever. And what's so funny is that here in Thailand, my friends call me G.I. Joe. And just calling me G.I. Joe, you know, I feel like I want to live up to that, you know, and get out there.
Raises your standards, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. The labels that we give ourselves, it is really important, actually, how people, that self-talk that we talk to ourselves. But anyway, so you're a super busy guy. How do you fit it all in? Talk us through sort of a general how you manage to get in your exercise routines and work on your business and make sure you've got quality time with your family.
That's a great question. I have a morning and an evening routine that I really feel like help me keep my day super clear on what I want. Starting with the PM routine is really important to my next day. So what I do is in the evening, I try to shut off all the screens and stuff, you know, typical, what you're supposed to do, eliminate the blue light, right?
Yep.
By about 30 minutes before I go to bed. And then what I'll do is I write down my top two or three goals for the next day. The two or three things that if I got them done, I'd be super happy and I'd feel like it was a productive day. So it forces me to prioritize the things that I know I need to do and not get caught up in the rat race of social media. Did I post enough? And I sent an email, you know, because at the end of the day, I don't think those are the things that move the needle. So figuring out what those things are and then making sure that you accomplish them. Then I write down something that I'm super grateful for. And then I'll just sit in bed and read. What I actually do is I put my little sleep mask over my forehead as a trigger for myself to remind myself, okay, we're starting to get into sleep mode. So put my little sleep mask on my forehead. I'll read a book until I get tired, put the sleep mask down, go to sleep. And when I wake up the next morning, what I'll go do is I'm trying to be a lot better about getting up. And then first thing I want to do is finish 24 ounces of water in the morning, rehydrate my body. And then I want to go write a letter to someone who I appreciate or someone I've just been on my mind recently to kind of reinvigorate my mind, start off the day from a position of gratitude and thinking about someone who's not myself. And
nice.
Then especially I'll try to schedule in my workouts based on how the day's shaking out. So sometimes that ends up being like 2 p.m. Sometimes it's 11 a.m. But if it's not going to happen at those times, I know I have to get it in first thing in the morning. So I'll go work out then, just getting in a 30-minute workout in case that's the only chance I get for the day.
Yep.
And then generally I'll grab baby girl, hang out with her, make sure she's spilling all the appropriate amounts of food on herself, do my work for the day, and then, you know, try to turn off work mode by about 5, 6 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough sometimes, isn't it? Especially when you work at home, there can be that sort of bleed. But I think I was talking to a very good friend of mine. I was telling you earlier, a friend of mine who's a vegan, and her husband is building his business at the moment. And you know, he's just so focused. And I had lunch with him the other day and I said to him, just be careful, you know, just have some cutoffs in your day, because it's so easy as a home-based entrepreneur to get onto your computer and to just not stop. And before you know it, you're into the evening, you're into the night, you haven't spent any time with your children, you haven't spent any time with your partner, you haven't spent any time on yourself, you haven't been out for a walk, you haven't got some fresh air, appreciated nature, all that kind of stuff. And it's so easy to get into, you know, that real rut. And believe it or not, people listening to this podcast, you may be thinking to yourself, yeah, but I'm building my business, Joe, and it's really important that I do this. You will burn out if you do not stop and spend some time on yourself and have those moments of just walking or breathing or spending time with your family or whatever. You will burn out. Do you agree, Nate?
Totally. And every entrepreneur I've talked to, anyone who's built a successful business, they've all said that the way they're able to manage a successful business and do their best every single day is by prioritizing filling themselves up first. You know, whether that's like you're talking about with a podcast or a motivational book or what you were reading from Stephen Pressfield or a workout. You know, a lot of people will say like, oh, you know, I have a lot of work. I'm working 60, 70 hours a week. So they cut their health first, not realizing that's going to come, like you said, increase levels of burnout, and also not let them be their most productive and focused during the day. So you're getting your, yeah, you worked for 12 hours, but you could have done that work in 9 hours and felt a lot better if you just prioritized that health early on.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Nate, this has been such a good conversation. Just before we call it a day, what are some sort of key tips that you'd love to leave the audience with? Some key tips for the guys listening will be people working from home, people traveling while working, you know, and people starting to build businesses from their passions. What are some key tips you have for those guys, obviously wanting to build their businesses while also not completely abandoning their health?
That's a great question. So I love to start off my day, and I think this is really important. I said it earlier, but with 24 ounces of water at least, so like a liter of water or so. So because if you're doing everything you need to be doing and you're trying to burn fat during the day, you're not burning your fat during your workout. You're going to be burning it at night by expelling it through your breath. So if you're not hydrated enough, you're not going to be able to expel as much fat because you don't have the requisite amount of moisture. So first thing you want to do in the morning after breathing out moist air all night is rehydrate. That's going to do more for your energy and focus than slamming 3 cups of coffee right off the bat. So if you can do that thing, I think that's going to start your day off right. The second thing is make sure that your exercise is actually serving your goals. So, you know, don't neglect doing some of the strength training. Don't neglect the gym. Don't neglect the body movement in search of, you know, like a better business or more productivity, because you'll eventually not have either one.
Yeah. And I can't say enough how becoming physically fitter and eating the right foods just makes you so much more productive. Nate, it's been fantastic to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. I can't wait to share this with my audience. Is there anywhere specifically people should come and find you on social media? Where do you prefer people to come and contact you?
I'm pretty active on Facebook, and I have a great group of, like, just where I post a ton of free content. I'm always posting videos called Optimal Self, Colon Fitness, Nutrition, and Mindset. I can give you the link for that as well. But that's where I put out most of my like my cool content, and it's obviously totally free. It's just a great community of rad people who are looking to optimize their bodies, minds, and health, and just feel amazing and do their best.
Oh, yes. Please send me the link because I'd like to join that. And what's next for you, Nate? What's coming up in your calendar? What are the next couple of years look like for you?
Well, I'm putting together an event right now in March, hopefully the first of a few events called Amplify, just helping people unlock their potential by talking about the stories we tell ourselves and who we actually are in relation to those stories and some of the limiting beliefs that people have. Working on building my business up for the next year or two, and then we'd love to go once baby girl is a little bit older, head out to Phuket, go see Southeast Asia, maybe back down through South America. But I'm so excited to share the journeys and like the traveling and just the world perspective with my daughter, because I think it's going to be really important for her to have that,
Oh.
in today's society,
Yeah, it and it will. The whole travel will give your daughter social skills like you'll never know. She'll be able to walk into a crowded room and say hello and start a conversation with so many people. It's amazing what it does. And it removes any fear, any religious fear, cultural fear, anything like that. My daughter, when she grows up, will never know. She will never understand the difference between a Christian, a Catholic, a Muslim, a Buddhist, whatever. She just won't know. To her, they're all just people that she
They're
knows.
just people. That's
Absolutely.
so awesome. I love that.
All right, Nate, thanks very much. You take care, my love. Have an amazing day. And yeah, just thanks very much for all your tips and advice.
Joe, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. This is so fun. I love talking to you. I feel like we could talk for another hour easily.
Oh, me too, Nate. You've been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for all your advice. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. To join in the conversation, please head over to yourlifestylebusiness.com, where you can find links to podcasts, show notes, and sign up to download my free ebook, How to Build a Business You Can Run from Anywhere in the World. Also, make sure you come and join our Facebook community. Just search for Your Lifestyle Business on Facebook, and you'll soon be sharing ideas with like-minded entrepreneurs all on the same journey. Lastly, if you have a moment, please subscribe and quickly rate this podcast on iTunes. It takes a tenth of a second to hit the little stars, and your rating will ensure it gets out to more people and impacts as many as possible with the message, Make It Happen. Thank you so much. See you next time.